we're opening kind of between weekly value area high and a daily value area low or high, and there's like a space between them, that space between is like gonna be a churn fest until finally we either leave it distribution or we accept back, you know, all the way into the one that's just above. It just, oh, everyone places their bets for like 2 hours, you know?
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Running a business is hard work. Building your website shouldn't be. With Wix, you can express your ideas, give direction, then leave the heavy lifting to AI. From site creation to branded content and images. Have fun with the details. Customize what you want the way you want. And manage your whole business from a centralized dashboard with expert AI tools. Build, scale, and enjoy the incredible results. You can do it all yourself on Wix.
Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. All right, hello everybody, welcome to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast. I am Kyle, your host for this evening, and joining us tonight, we've got Bear Goes Long, old friend Cleo, and Vanta Trading's Baba Yaga. Eventually, we will be talking about discipline, but first we got to check in with everybody. So I was wondering, should we do the meal thing again? You guys want to talk about the best meal you had this week?
Anybody sure. That's looked at my Twitter saw my meal tonight, so my usual rare prime rib.
I assume it was a prime rib, right?
Yeah.
Prime rib. Yeah. Yep. Bear. You got to get something new, Bear.
No, that's my Friday. That's my joy. That is my end of week reward for Friday evening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Baba, what'd you have, bud?
I had some cow meat, some steaks tonight from one of my cows, which is kind of cool. So It was fantastic. Massive ribeyes and sirloins for the people who.
Oh, would you get like those tomahawks?
I mean, that's not what we had tonight, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Mashed potatoes, peas, carrots, all that good stuff. So
man, this went a lot better last week when we did this.
What's wrong with that meal? I don't understand.
The delivery has been so lackluster. Nobody's into it. Last week, everybody was into it.
Okay, I'm into something.
Yeah,
okay, well, one thing is my dude and I have a salad wall, like a hydroponic salad wall. that we grow all sorts of greens and herbs. Yeah. And this sounds really simple, but we had this really good salad from, like, I understand, Baba, you know, it's cattle that you, it's your cow. And there's something about that, right? Ownership mm-hmm. of, like, this is our salad wall. And these vegetables are amazing. And we roasted a chicken. It was just, like, simple and amazing. And the herbs. And, like, I'm all about simplicity, especially if it's homegrown on a wall.
Okay. I think that's awesome. But I do want to point out the fact that your food, you're eating Baba's food's food, just so you know. So when you eat that salad, you're taking food out of his cow's mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? All yeah. in California, our salad wall right. is depriving those cows.
I like the idea of a salad wall. All right, let's see if we got any show news. I got nothing to really report on this week, but I do want to say a quick thank you to Niels from Delta Trader for stepping in and helping us out this morning. We had set up a live stream, but it actually ended up working out because Baba had to take off for some. You got award ceremony stuff going on this week, right?
This week and into next week, it's kind of crazy, but then it chills out a little bit.
So when are you back with us trading?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. All right. So you're out Monday too.
Unfortunately.
When's the holiday?
Even open Memorial Day?
Memorial Day is not this week. It's next week, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Yeah, the week from Monday.
I don't know. I'm not a calendar guy.
Yeah, it's a week from this coming Monday. Baba, you say Tuesday. My mom, she's from the South. She says Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yeah. Do you know people that say Tuesday? Wednesday?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They just shorten that. No need to give that rest of that word.
But you say Tuesday.
I do.
Yeah.
Do you say scrimps?
Scrimps?
When you're eating shrimp?
No.
Do you say, what's the other one I hear a lot? Never. We're just gonna go nowhere.
Do you say where and why?
It probably is more like where.
Where? So where. No H. No. Oh, no. Where? These are just the things my mama.
Yeah,
says.
I mean, yeah. There's definitely some. I mean, I am from the South for sure. You can obviously tell that. But yeah. I try to. You know. I mean, I know some folks who would fit all of those, like my mom.
The Churin. That's the one I was trying to think of.
Churins.
The Churins.
Grand Churins.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Yeah. Or like the phrase, whereabouts are y'all? Instead of where are you guys? Like, how close
are
you? I've
been saying y'all. I think y'all is amazing.
I like y'all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Y'all's efficient. Do you have fixin' out there or fittin'? When you really.
Figna?
Fittin'. Yeah. Fittin'. Figna? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Figna? Fixing too. I'm figna head your way.
Figna.
Fittin' too. Mm-hmm. Fittin' too.
All right. Thanks
where
for
y'all
that.
From?
Great.
Good luck, editors.
Right, this is going to be a fun one to stitch together.
Little American ethnography tour.
All right, should we just jump into today's topic then? Cleo, so we brought you back in because last week you started to talk about discipline, like right in the last like 10 minutes of an already hour and 15 long episode that we had done. So we thought maybe we'd bring it back and we'll just start over fresh. So. I don't know. Where do you want to take that? Like,
well, you know, it was actually really helpful to even bring that up and to be more open about talking about it, because the truth is that since that awful trade where I lost $1,200 in a single MES contract, I think I got tweaked and I was feeling shame and not really, like, I kind of went into a bit of a self spiraling hole or something. And I ended up finally getting back into trading after a couple weeks, but I wasn't sticking to my trading plan. I would tell myself, this is what I'm doing today. This is the strategy I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. But then in the middle of the trading session, I would do a different thing. And this happened enough that I felt like, oh my God, like I've developed I have a problem. Like, what is going on? And
Cleo, I feel like we went down the same path like the last like 3 to 6 months, because that's the exact same thing I was struggling with when I had to take a step back and do my reset. It was exactly that. It had just gotten too easy to click the button, and I was finding myself doing it outside of anything that had any real semblance of a plan,
right?
A process.
And it's so disappointing because it feels like a regression. Like, this wasn't an issue for me before. What's coming up? Like, what's going on? And I start feeling like, am I like an trading addict or something? Like, what is happening? And I stopped trusting myself in trading, which I think is the like the biggest, at least for me, a big problem, like when I can't trust myself. I know Bear probably has some things to say about that because he's got all sorts of systems in place to support him when he goes like on tilt and stuff, you know, we can talk about that. But so since that, since last week and even like mid last week when I started just owning it more, in this other Discord server, Sean's actually, the sound performance psychology one.
Shout out,
I was more, I was just revealed about that of like, hey, this is a thing I'm struggling with. I'm not sticking to my trading plan. And just naming it and having other eyes on the fact of it did something for me where since then I've basically been reporting every day, like, this is the trade I took. This is the, and it's only one a day. It's only one trade a day that I'm taking.
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. And I've needed somebody to report to. And I don't know who's looking at that, but I'm not just holding it alone. Like, for me, that's been such an important thing to be not, like, in traders, we're such, we can be like lone wolves, you know? We're just like doing our own thing. Nobody's looking at what we're doing. And for me, in this last week, it's been super helpful. I've been like building trust again and externalizing some of that, right? Like, okay, I need other eyes on this, or at least the idea that other people are going to be tracking this. That's been getting me back to like a baseline trusting of myself again.
And Sean's Discord room is so good for that. I honestly feel bad because I don't have much time to pop in there. And I usually just kind of pop in there when I've just done something catastrophically dumb. And I need to, I need to talk to somebody and go, wow, I really did do this thing. And this is what happened. And this is, you know, kind of the autopsy of what I did and what triggered me. And, you know, and
Bear, can I challenge you to try jumping in there sometime before the blow up happens?
Yeah, that would be a good spot.
just once, right? Try it. One time next week. Whew. You can do it, man. I have faith in you.
That's, I mean, speak about lone wolf. That's you know, that's a struggle I have going back to childhood. You know, but you know, that's a, I have a lot of those. I have to do it myself. I have to do it on my own challenges, which I've been working on and getting more accepting of, you know, some of the other people and, you know, even this group, and, you know, just being able to talk about those things is really helpful and talk about these, the challenges of trading.
When it sucks, it really sucks.
Yeah, when it sucks, it really sucks. And then, you know, the last few weeks I've had just, you know, some tremendous stuff outside of trading and dealing with funerals and all sorts of, you know, entertainment like that. So it's been a wonderful spot for me to go into and for me to really have a kind of a safe space to talk about and go, wow, you know, I'm having this challenge and this is what I did. And there's some great people in there that have said, yeah, you know, this, that's part of trading. And this is, here's some of the things that I do to help combat that. And that's been really good too.
It sounds
as far
like
as combating. Go ahead.
It just sounds like talking about it or whatever has been kind of like the big aha for both of you guys, like just being able, like as traders, it's very easy to have a bad stretch and then just try to, like the inclination is to sweep it under the rug and hopefully we never have to look at it again. But
right. And, I mean, I definitely think that there's something deeply wrong with me, which is why I can't, you know, stake to my trading plan. But other than that, it's nice to just be able to, I mean, it's working. Right.
But you can,
now.
Cleo, you can, because you've done it this past week.
It's true. It's true. And I'm kidding about something deeply wrong with me, but it is a question I have. Like, is there something that actually could use a little more attention, or is it just like practice?
As traders, we want to believe we're special and that our problems are unique.
Yeah.
And especially as a lone wolf, I want to believe that, you know, all of my problems are just totally unique and crazy and deep seated and, oh my God, childhood, blah, blah, blah. And then I pop into the room And I talk about, you know, this like super dumb thing that I did or, you know, kind of like this little sequence that led to me going on Tilt. And Carlos will pop up and be like, oh, yeah, I did that thing on Tuesday. And or, you know, I used to have that. And this is, you know, these are the three things that I do that I see when I start to see these steps. And I do. And I'm like, crap, I'm not unique. I'm not special. This is just normal trader crap. Okay, cool.
It's both and, right? We do have our own stuff. And it's typical behavior too.
Yeah. But, you know, getting euphoric because the numbers on the screen are just getting bigger than you're used to.
That's just human.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Hey, just Baba. Human. Been quiet what over you got, there in Baba, the corner.
On the topic, discipline. We're entering into the topic of discipline, right?
Being human.
Oh, yeah. Discipline.
So we open a stinky can or
well, no, I don't think so. I think maybe one framing for discipline that's helpful is like normal life and then like extenuating circumstances and like a new season. So I think about last year, specifically the first part of last year, I don't think I was like lacking some ridiculous, like I wasn't undisciplined, but my results were not what I had hoped for. And so I think in that season, like, you know, there were a few times where out of frustration, I would just be like, you know, I'm going to just, you know, be overly aggressive, or I'm going to make a decision outside of what maybe I normally would. Press a little bit and things like that. But I think differentiating, like, I'm in a season that's different and difficult, and there's going to be a learning curve just in how to be a smooth operator under a new set of pressures. That's like one thing, you know? So like that, and that I think is a distinctly different skill than what is discipline, right?
Yeah.
Does that distinction make sense? I think so. I think some people are trying to do something new for the first time. Like I'm trying to achieve this goal or step out or do this thing. That's like that and discipline aren't, or the lack thereof, aren't necessarily synonyms. So I think that's like one distinction to make. So if you're like trading and you're trying to step out and do this full time, or, you know, more full time than you ever have, that's probably not the perfect time to go on like a discovery of how disciplined am I or something like that. so much as it is a time to work on, I think, what you were mentioning, Cleo, which is like trust in, I would say, yourself, trust in like what you're doing. And I think one thing that does cross over is like clarity of what the goal is. Mm-hmm. And I think that for like discipline to me, and I would offer this as a question to y'all. I mean, discipline, I think, is like directly almost proportionate to how clearly can you articulate and believe what you're trying to accomplish.
Nice.
Right. That's a question I'm asking. Because I think for me, and again, we're like speaking very much like this is where my sister should be here with us, because she's like, you know, got all the letters after her name and meets with people all the time. Or the guy that is a counselor that I talk to from time to time, you know, someone with some weight in this area would be helpful, I guess. But
we'll get Sean in here one of these nights.
Yeah, I just think like I have gotten more and more clear on what success looks like. And the more clear I am on that, then it's easier to get clear on the connection between like what I do at the clicker, like when I'm taking trades, the strategy, the, you know, risk, the whatever. When I do that in a disciplined, like pre-ordered fashion, inside like the bounds of what's fair and appropriate, like not innovating and just flying off the rails. So like I stay inside my fencing. Maybe someone say like humility would be a adjective to describe like humility in our trading.
Following your own rules.
Yeah, we're keeping it straight. When I'm really clear on what like success is for me, like what's the win, what's the goal, what am I striving for? Not just every day, but overall, like in life. What part does all of this play in that? And then I have a day where I sit down, I do my thing, I finish, and whether that's $500 or $2,000 or $5,000, or I lose $500 or $1,000, if I look back at that day, or let's say a series of days, a month, and I have stayed inside my fencing, right? I've stayed inside my process, then that almost like a neural pathway between my discipline and my process and my win, or the value or goal or thing that I'm striving for, it affirms that, right?
Yeah.
Like, I did it the right way, and maybe not in the day, because there's red days this month, but over the month, I was rewarded. I mean, I don't think we want to think of it like reward and winning.
Right, just
because so
you're red
to...
doesn't mean you're not disciplined, right?
Exactly,
it's inevitable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because,
right,
when,
but did
because
you,
sometimes...
Were you disciplined trades?
Yeah, sometimes we do. We take a trade that is all checks all the boxes, and we lose that trade, or a series of trades, or a sequence of trades.
Just very
and it's, you know, that's like part of the, that is inevitably part of this journey of trading. And being disciplined to take that, to like accept that and then go to the next day, like even in the short term, that might not look like you're winning, you're achieving your goal. And I think far too often what we do is we try to bail ourselves out of some kind of red day or red trade. So, and it works.
Yeah.
And so then the thing that's reinforced isn't...
Is the bad
sometimes,
behavior.
Sometimes you're going to have a red day and that's okay. The thing that's reinforced is when it really gets frustrating, what I can do to alleviate that frustration or completely not care anymore because I just ruin everything is I can quadruple my size and hold for a 5x outside target and clean up the whole mess, you know, from 2 days of
right
following my rules. And when that works... then that like seed of doubt goes in between my process and yeah. my goal. And that's when that doubt is there, I think that's when the discipline
it's a killer.
Starts to come into question.
Yes. But
because you're like, ah, you know, like I go back to you saying that, Kyle, about the news, like I flattened before news, dang, if I'd have held it, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, well, I think out of 100 times you would be happy with that decision. This one, it didn't work. Like, you would have made money, but probably yeah. don't want to.
In that yeah. moment, I didn't give a shit about the other 100 times. I cared about that one time.
Exactly.
You know?
So that's yeah. my, I mean, that's a long-winded, you know, thesis on discipline to an extent. Differentiating discipline from like a difficult season is important. But then inside of discipline, do you think that the clearer you are on what a win is or what achieving your goal is, the clearer you are on that, and how applying your process and discipline is tied to it, the easier it is to settle into that and function in that space.
I would say, yeah. I mean, that's one thing that's really been helping me, I think, is the more clear I am on what I want to do and how I want to execute. When I see myself operate outside of that, then it makes me... When I look at a day like I had Thursday and I see like 3 trades that it should not have been taken, I'm like, that makes me feel worse now than having a day like today where I was flat, but every trade was, you know, in process, you know,
like
it's you can tell when you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing. And that's what I'm trying to avoid now.
Like, this is the essence of what the problem is when we are betraying our own trust with ourselves.
It's exactly what Baba was talking about with the acceptance of. Like if I take 2-3 losses to start out the day, am I going to take the same trade, the next trade the same way or not? Like, that's what I need to know for myself. And if I can't take it the same way that I take it when I start the day, then I need to be done for the day. And that's, I think, where like the growth is coming for me, is learning to recognize that and when to get out.
And pin, I think one thing about that needs to be pinned in what you just said is, okay, I did call my sister and talk to her for about an hour about all of this, and
damn, he's doing a lot of goddamn making this all.
Well,
bad.
I think it's really important, man, because I feel like I have made strides in both sides of this. I mean, you know, it's it's not often that like I'm like, oh man, I've really moved the needle. Like it's been a long time. I've been doing this for a while, so it's, you know. But in this new season, I've gotten to like rediscover it all because it's different when it matters, you know. And I mean,
and you mean the new season of being a full time trader,
like the last couple years, yeah,
yeah, last couple years,
full time trader. I mean, full time risk taker and investor, yeah. Whether that's in real estate or trading. I mean, I do both, so I don't want to give the guys that there's nothing else going on in my life, but yeah, I mean, I wake up every day and sit down at the desk and do this until I stop or whatever, and then I'll do other stuff. But yeah, this season. The thing I wanted to make mention of, Kyle, that you said, so the two words that like resonate inside of this discussion are clarity of the goal, and that goal is a meta narrative goal. Why do I sit down at this computer every day? Why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. You know, not like, well, let's make money. Not that, not a base, like, but what is this venture? What's the point of this, right? Like, what is the point of this? What is the goal? Clarity around that and belief that the thing I'm doing, like the ship I've built, will row me to that island.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned, like, when I look at the day and I flat, but I took 3 in-process trades, that feels like the ship never made any progress from here to the island if you're not careful. Like, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If you're not careful, that day can look like I didn't really make any progress today. Right. I didn't really whatever.
How do you celebrate and recognize, hey, I took 3 perfectly in-process trades?
That's why I think it's so important to do your reviews. Like, that's the only way you can go back and look. Like, you got to go back and look at your day and say, do I feel good about these trades still? And if the answer is yes, then that's great. You celebrate that day. If the answer is no, like, you know what you did. Like, make note of it and try to do better.
Yeah, that clarity and belief around the system or the – and then the other thing is the decision-making, Kyle. That's the other thing that I was trying to get around to.
Mm.
You said you know, if you take 3 or 4 trades and they're losers, here's a scenario that feels like the boat just got dynamite put in it and it got blown up. Boat metaphor for our process. You take 2 or 3 trades, they lose. Then you're like, oh man, the market's such a stupid idiot today. Dump on this. And you're done. Then you look back and you see that the 5th trade of the day, if you would have taken it in process just like the others, that one banged, you know, that would have been a full TP on all your contracts and a runner to the close, right? Mm-hmm. And then you think, oh man, you know, then there's this like, oh, I did it right. I should have just blown it. And then you have all this internal turmoil around that. And so I think the way that we decide to be finished for the day has to be almost systematic, so that we alleviate the likelihood that we do the hang around trading where you just hang around.
Yes.
And you take B grade trade, then an A grade trade sets up and you're like, oh, I mean, okay, we'll take that too.
And maybe you go a little off process because you're kind of activated and you want to get it back.
Yeah, you get, so how often, so the point, like the thing to think about is how often when you have 3 losing trades in a row or 4 or whatever, or you lose your P&L number that you're willing to spend to trade for the day, whatever that is that you go, okay, that's, and you know, that's my punt, like I punch my time card, I'm done. Whatever that is, like that needs to be like well settled, because the likelihood to what Cleo just said, that if the answer to when do I get up from the desk, if I don't have that answer, then I just emote my way to a destination or a solution to, or an answer to that question. I just emotively get there by frustration, by like being annoyed, or by the boringness of the market, or by draining my account for, you know, or by whatever. And so then when you decide, okay, this many trades, I'm done, there's no sweat off your back to look back and go, man, you know, this thing would have been perfect the 5th time. It's like, okay, well, it would have, but how many times would it have been not perfect the 5th time? And how many times would the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th still been terrible trade, like terrible trades. Right. Even if they were on process, you're still losing money because it's late, it's after London close and it's in the lull of lunch.
And you're getting more emotionally activated.
And,
then
and you're paying a cost, even if it's not financially.
Mentally.
That mental, the connection, the belief that what I'm doing is actually the right thing to get me where I'm trying to go starts to get like a little decayed in those days, because those days are really taxing. You end up sitting, I mean, not you, but like a person, I've had that happen to me overnight. That is really the only, overnights are either like my, I mean, I did, I trade journal entry every day of my trading and in the, like, you know, type up, even if it's just two sentences, I still do that. I used to do it at pen and paper. I do a little bit of both, but I always, at least if nothing else, type it. And I had like four times in the last, not four times, three, four times in the last like 6 or 8 weeks where my overnight trading was like I come to the desk with a negative balance. And like, sure, I might finish the day green, and but I start in a hole and it's like, oh man,
yeah, that, you know, sucks.
It's kind of annoying. On the flip side, I also have tons of days where I come to the desk very green from overnight trading. And so I'm trying to, so even in that though, on some of those nights where I've lost a few trades and I'm like, okay, well, I don't want to start tomorrow red, and I'm well inside a process and like it's just not quite working out like I want it to. So let's just sit here and wait. I'll end up sitting here like family, like I'll be with the family, hang out with the kids, whatever, whatever. They go to bed. I'll come sit down and just like, you know, listen to a podcast and watch the market, watch the market, watch the market. You know, and you, you know, hour, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. Whew. It's like 1 or 2 a.m. And you're still like, okay, if that, you know, trying to scheme and plan for like what would be the perfect trade to take in this environment, which is fine. But that comes at a cost, right? Like you're depleting your decision-making ability. And so that lingering is something that I've had to keep mindful of, especially more so like with Globex style trading than during RTH. But that lingering can get expensive emotionally. It can get expensive physically.
I think it kind of all comes back to clarity, like you had said. Like, I think what I've been finding is that the times when I do things, when I go off script, when I start to make questionable decisions is when I either haven't thought about or haven't planned about what is going on in that moment. When it comes to a new situation I haven't considered, oh, I'm supposed to buy if, you know, this, if it closes above this, but what if it closes right on that threshold? Oh, now I've given myself some leeway to interpret that however I want. And then that's when I think I find I get myself in trouble.
Totally. So, the lack of clarity about something,
right? It's
just, where there's a little wiggle room, then it squeaks through. It
makes me think that it goes back to process, and it makes me feel like I need to go back and continue defining that and trying to just make it as clear as possible. Like it's just there's too much of that. Mm-hmm. There's too many of those things in your plan and your process that I think that's a problem.
Yeah, well, it's the style that you're trying to execute, right? Like, what are you trying to...
Well, for me, I love loopholes, as we talked about last week. And so if I can, if there's a way that I can put a trade on that's outside of process, like, I think my subconscious wants to do that. It's going to try to do that. So I need to really be on guard for that, personally.
History isn't just boring names and dates. It's weird, messy, and full of what-were-they-thinking moments. The buck starts here, dives into the financial fiascos, questionable deals, and outright chaos that helped build America, $1 at a time. We mix in serious history from a fresh perspective, real, deep dives into the numbers and the moments that shaped the country, without the boring lecture. From presidential blunders to almost states, and the time an international war almost started over a pig, we break down the key events that made, and nearly broke, the nation. It's the fascinating untold history you won't find in the textbooks. Subscribe to the Buck Starts Here podcast for a deeper look at presidential history that's anything but dull.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Kick off summer with Memorial Day savings at Lowe's. Right now, get five Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. Plus, get up to 40% off select major appliances and save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances $396 or more. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/28. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
So that's been happening for you lately, it sounds like, Kyle.
Not lately. Lately has actually been
pretty
good.
Maybe you and I were in a similar kind of thing like a month ago or something. How did you come back into, I don't know, being more on process?
When I made the realization that everything was all just from uncertainty, like, I don't know how to explain this. I felt like my plan was shit. Like, I didn't have any faith in my plan. If I didn't have any faith in my plan, then I didn't have any faith in what I was doing. And it wasn't until I was able
because
to look
at because of the results or because of your execution, what do you mean that you thought that your plan was shit?
Because what I was trying to build was just so helter-skelter and all over the place. I was trying to incorporate too many things. There wasn't It was too – trying to be too wide. It was trying to catch every move, trying to catch every pattern. It was trying to not leave anything on the table ever. It was trying to be perfect. And
I mean, why not just go back to – basics? And you know, I'm asking myself as much as I'm asking you of
that's what I did.
Pick one trade.
Yeah.
Pick one trade and only one trade and only allow yourself to take that one trade.
That's what I'm doing. I mean, that's what I've happened to do. It sounds like you and I were in a very similar
process. Yeah, I kind of did the same thing. To Baba's point now too, I don't hang around past the point of, you know, when I should be, you know, trading well, because the process that I've built is got some very clear points to where, like, the trades play out after the first, you know, hour max. Like, at that point, I usually have a trade I can put on for afternoon retest, but that's just to put the trade on and go off and do something else. So there's no hanging around and getting myself in trouble, because there's nothing to do at that point. Like, I have nothing that I'm allowed to trade, and there's nothing that I believe in or want to trade. Like, the more work and the more testing I do and the more stats I build that shows that, hey, this thing might actually be profitable if I can stick with it over a long period of time, it makes me not want to veer from that anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was there something that happened, Kyle, for you? Like, how did you shift from that sort of, I mean, you know, because I had a similar thing, right? Like, it's like all crazy, all over the place, and then hone it in. Like, how did it happen for you?
It just kind of built up. It was just noticing lack of discipline in other areas in life too. Like, hard to put off having an extra piece of pizza like Rich would use as an example, or having a soda every day. Like, I don't need to be doing that. Like, there's little things that were creeping in and I wasn't liking that. So I don't know.
I have a question for you, Baba, about Kyle. Like, so the two of you trade together every day, basically, or close to it, right? And in the trading room, I'm curious if you, Baba, were picking up on any of this in Kyle and his trading.
So I feel like Kyle was, and maybe it was just my interpretation of where he was, but I don't know. You could go back on the pod not that long ago, and I was just like, man, look how far you've come. Like, because I think a big thing that you faced, you, Kyle, man to the right, is like there was some fear involved in trading or taking trades, or at least like some real like sensitivity to taking a stop or losing a trade. And that had progressed to where you had become fairly active, you know, and you were whether the idea was good or bad, the concept, you were executing some form of like, I want to retest this area and then take this trade to here, blah, blah. You had kind of somewhat of a process. So I felt like Kyle had really made progress in some areas, and I really, you know, valued his perspective. Not that I don't now, but I'm just saying, like, I'd come to a value when Kyle said, I'm looking for, like, I don't want to be full port short into somewhere that Kyle's like stalking along. If anything, like, I would want to be, I should have already been scaled or should be looking, possibly to looking in that same direction, or at least consider the possibility, unless something about my process really, you know, was like, no, you know, I hope he gets the 12-point bounce or whatever he's trading or hoping for, but, like, I'm trading a different time horizon here.
You're also trading different assets for the most part now, too.
Different assets as well. Also, I found myself, I was surprised when you sent me stuff about, like, what you're working on now, because I was like, oh, this is kind of a departure from the system at, or the attempted development of a system of rebidding and reoffering that you had built.
Yeah, it was just too, it was too much. There's too many options. Like, I needed a way, I think, to really kind of narrow the focus into something, and something that's repeatable and that I can do the same every day.
Like, what I felt like lacked before, in retrospect, is it seemed like you would, and this is fine for certain time horizon trading, like, you would just take a longer or short either way. Like, you just pull, you'd just be, you know, like, you didn't think, well, I anticipate that we take this, you know, coming into today, I think this hourly swing low is vulnerable. If we lose this value area, if we trade above this value area high and pull back in, I want to trade through the value, through the balance, and I want to go, you know, sweep this hourly low. I come into the day most of the time with some kind of idea like that, that I want to participate in, if I'm allowed to, if that plays out, or something like that. And I feel like with your old methodology, you would take the long, like, you would take a long pullback, reoffer, take the short, cover, stop at break even, pull back, take the long again. Like, you would trade the zigs and zags inside of a move that was developing one way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so now, to the difference, I think, I didn't notice the stress, or I didn't really realize. I
think that's what it was. I think it was just too stressful a way to trade.
Yeah, it's a lot of decisions. Yeah. You're making a lot of decisions. And I think that's fine, but, and probably you could still roll with that if you were trying to. I think what you've gained, you know, what you have to accept about what you're doing now is that if the market is a, I wrote a box on my chart and put shit zone. And then there was another one. There's been a few shit zones this week where I just make a big red box, extend it to the right, and labeled it shit zone. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to trade in the shit zone. And
I like that.
As I start to see a shit zone develop, this is crass language, I apologize for our listeners. As I start to see that develop, and based on the fact that if I get into a trade and then it, like, dinks around and doesn't go anywhere and then stops me out or break evens me, and then we get into one and I add and add, and then it comes back and dinks me out. Like, it happens a couple times. Like, I'm going to be watching for this to turn into what we've seen lately a few mornings, is that AM compression for some amount of time, and where it's just like, we're just kind of spinning our tires on NASDAQ, at least. And we saw that
even
today,
this morning.
And we saw that yesterday or the day before. And so there's a good opportunity later, and you just, how quickly can you realize that we're going to get hung up here, you know? And so I think with this method, when you're sitting at the table and the market is trading like that, which doesn't give you the opportunities you would like either or need for what you're doing, you'll just have to make peace with, there's going to probably be a few mornings every couple weeks that you just sit and watch. And that's just going to be part of your, like, that doesn't need to frustrate you, annoy you, because it frustrates me and annoys me at times, my time window is a little bit wider. So if yours is narrow, you just need to be cognizant that could happen. And if anything, you could create a scenario for an afternoon, trade. What does an afternoon trade look like post a morning with an S zone?
So I've already, and I've got that too. I've already got the afternoon trade that I like.
Just being willing to accept that some mornings are going to be like that is something I would just put at the forefront.
Yeah, and the term I've been learning for that is garbon, aka garbage zone. That garbage zone.
Yeah.
And I've been seeing that a lot lately on the open, and you know, the system I'm learning, it's like it either sets up in the first 15 minutes, a good trade sets up, or I'm coming back an hour and a half later.
But see, I like that part of it though, because then I don't have to sit around and wait for nothing to happen.
Yeah.
That's my strategy now. I set alarms, and if it hits a thing that I'm interested in.
But it's helpful because I remember what I was trying to say now. It has to do with like not losing on like the big days. It's trying to avoid those blow up days when you're talking about we lose the discipline and we try to just start taking trades that we shouldn't be taking. Having something that gets me to not be at the market or not staring at the charts on a day that's shaping up to be frustrating has stopped me from doing those things. And I think that's more helpful.
That's a
than
huge win. Huge win.
Yeah. So yeah, Bob, I'm definitely more apt to accept a small losing day because I've seen what the day can turn into. And I know what it's more likely to turn into. It's more likely to be red than it is to be green. And I just don't want to take that trade anymore.
Yeah, it's like when NASDAQ spends 3 hours inside a 100-point range, I know for me, like, I mean, I guess, yeah, I could buy the low and sell the high, but I...
But you know what feels really shitty? When you look back on a day like that and you're like, why was I trying to take a breakout when I just watched this thing fail?
Yeah, and then we had a similar activity from like 9:30 to 10:30 today, roughly.
Right.
Where we kind of stayed inside that 390, even smaller range, like 450, kind of fighting some distribution overlap and things like that, which whenever, you know, looking back at that, whenever that's like one of the little markers is like, if we're opening kind of between weekly value area high and a daily value area low or high, and there's like a space between them, that space between is like gonna be a churn fest until finally we either leave it distribution or we accept back, you know, all the way into the one that's just above. It just everyone places their bets for like 2 hours, you know, on the tail, on the edges of it. So another consideration for discipline would be how familiar you are with, like, my sister called it neurotypical and neurodivergent people. So some people who may be dealing with attention deficit type issues, ADHD. Hyperactivity, other types of
this autism spectrum disorder.
Yeah,
psychopathy. Gotcha.
No,
can also
where
be
you
good
like
for trading.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Not tension, stress, anxiety. How someone like deals with some measures of anxiety or other things like that.
Oh man.
Then how trading and some of the challenges that are innately associated with trading will affect different people's minds and how they respond is something that you can't sleep on that kind of thing, right?
No, I think if somebody has any level of anxiety, that trading's like a 10-point trigger for it.
I never thought I had anxiety until trading.
You started trading.
kind of same. I mean, it illuminates the things.
I'm the guy who doesn't pack for a trip until like the night of, or even sometimes like the morning, like before we're getting ready to get the car. Like that's me.
Guilty. My wife hates it too because I can do it so fast. But then we get there and have to go buy a swimsuit. That's happened there, like three times in our marriage. Yeah.
Clip, mark that timestamp. I got to save that clip for Laura.
100%. Dude. We've gone to buy swim trunks. Yeah. But fortunately, now with like how popular like the PFGs and some of the other type like shorts that you can just swim in,
it's
alleviated the tension of that. But back in the day, boy, I'd show up with none but khaki shorts.
These are swim trunks.
Got a razor. Yeah.
So that would be another consideration. The other thing is like they're allegedly, and this was, I was reading an article, I don't know if this is like hocus pocus or whatever. I asked my sister about it. She said, when someone has qualifications in an area and you ask them a question they're not familiar with, they're either going to like BS you or they're going to be like, I need to look more into that. She was like, I need to look more into that. But that there are different types of discipline. like quantitatively, I guess you would say, or objectively, you can classify discipline.
Well, like the idea, like I don't go out and commit crimes is one form of discipline, but I have a hard time saying no to a tasty RC Cola.
Well, sort of. So like, like there are people who excel or struggle to excel with structural discipline as defined by
my hand is up.
Creating structures in your day or a plan that like ends your day, like that daily process. I'm going to plan out my whole day and check all these boxes, like that structural discipline. That would
sticking
be one
to a structure, sticking to a plan.
One form
I
want to
light
discipline.
That structure on fire when I think of that.
Another form, which this is for trading. This is a thing to consider if this is all real and not just bunk, and even if it's not like in the DSM or whatever that book is for like mental stuff or what is it called? DSM. DSM.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think that's the current name. Yeah.
Even if it's not in there, I think it's categorically helpful to people. And I thought it was very insightful to me. Reactive discipline. So some people, the ability to respond promptly and properly to an unexpected situation is categorized as a form of discipline. Like some people, when there's like an emergency, they go crazy, like completely undisciplined, lose it. Other people, when they're seemingly living a life that's crazy and undisciplined, and then when the moment happens, they lock in.
They can handle
it. Perform. Yes.
Yep. Totally.
And then like they are completely capable and it, you know, you're like, whoa, I kind of, that's like my Emma, like that's where my wheelhouse
under stress. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. When the hurricane, I think I told you, when the hurricane happened and life's falling apart and we got no power and no water and no internet. And
you're like, it's like, my time.
I'm like, bro, let's go. Okay. I mean, I'm like, you know, solving problems left and right, planning everything out. I'm like making, you know, like I told you guys, like 4:30, 5 o'clock a.m. gas station runs. Like, you know, I just, and I don't even have to like, it's just like second nature. Boom, you're ready to go. I think in trading, some people have reactive discipline, which is why they come into the market, possibly lose a string of trades, and then kind of lock in. And I think what I saw after reading about this and looking back at some of my journals prepping for talking tonight and doing the show, like if I lose a couple trades in Globex, like I come in so like – it's almost like I'm responding to a situation like, okay, we're sitting down. We're down, you know, whatever, 1 hour,
the
2 hour.
The stress is on. The matter.
Right,
it matters more. Yeah,
it's like you go into like a different kind of spot mentally to perform. I think that's a good thing. I think it could be a bad thing because, again, about the lingering thing all day, all day, all day, losing trade, winning trade, lose, lose, lose. Then you're like, okay, I'm going to lock in. And then you do, you know.
Do you worry about like creating the pressure, maybe subconsciously, even like having the losses to get you into that mood?
I don't worry about it because I don't have like a habit. It's not a very common thing. I mean, a couple times in the last 6 or 8 weeks, and maybe 3 times, but and it was more just like being kind of surprised, like genuinely surprised by the activity or the lack thereof in Globex and trying to like pursue an idea. But no, I do think that would be, that's something that I have had to guard against.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is let's create drama so that then we can fix it in our trading. You know?
So how much of discipline do you think is understanding where your weaknesses are and just
That's the point. Yeah. That's the point of talking about this is like, you can say I lack discipline, but you may just lack a certain type of discipline.
Right.
You may be really strong in some other areas. So how can you trade in light of that? The other one is like expansive discipline, and this is kind of a awkward one. Expansive discipline, I think, so it's about having unexpiring ambition that pushes you continually beyond what you're comfortable with in an intentional way. And so that's almost like the never satisfied, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's a form of discipline, at least as outlined here, just from the standpoint of like the constant pursuit. You know, and so there's real discipline around that continuously reinventing or continuously pushing.
Yeah.
I think a lot of traders function that way.
Actually, that's really Interesting. As now I'm thinking back on like the thing my mom used to love telling everybody is that she was worried that I was lazy. And when I joined the military, she was scared that I was going to be lazy in the military. And she thought it never was going to work out. But I don't think she understood the difference between the different types of disciplines. Like, I didn't have good structural discipline, but yeah. I was like, when I have to go do something and it needs to get done, I go do it and it gets done. And I don't know that she understood that. Like, when I had goals for life, like, I worked hard towards those goals. I worked hard towards putting a lot of money away young so I could, take this, journey now. Like, there's a lot of work that went into that that I think it took her a little bit, but she sees it now.
Yeah. And so what's your, maybe like your native discipline is something to consider for people. Like if you will probably, if you do some self-evaluation, everyone will see where maybe they could rank these different, like your traditional discipline, that first one. And then like the other two, you could kind of rank like, okay, this is where I normally function. I'm weak over here or whatever. And I think that's important to keep in mind as you think about pursuing and executing inside of like the financial markets and trading, and then I would say I think you asked a question earlier, Kyle. I think it would be important to think, how would this serve me really well, and then like what is the counter, like what would be the downfall of leaning in too heavy to this, So it's like both and, right? Because there's probably a shadow side to every form of
100%.
Because discipline also is often thought of as like control, right?
Yes.
And when we're having some sort of behavior modification and it's not actually natural to who we are, potentially, I'm just kind of spitting here, right? There's going to be some sort of constraint. There's going to be like a constraint that some part of us might actually need to object to or have something else to account for or something, like if we're in a place of control, but it's not actually all aligned, I think it gets a little dangerous.
Yeah, too much control or discipline, I'm going to light something on fire.
Yeah.
It's right. Funny that you say or that, if controls is something that's antithetical to you or something that causes, you get a lot of people that have bad issues with control where, they had bad things happen when people were trying to control them. So any type of control, even self-imposed controls, can cause a counter reaction.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Well said.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did like a synonyms exercise as well for discipline to see like,
you and your sister did. This was quite a conversation. Yeah. Holy cow.
She's the boss, dude.
She join us.
I asked her to come tonight. She's like, no, I'm still doing paperwork. I got to finish paperwork for the week for all my appointments.
So tell her to pick a night. I'll do any night she wants.
Even if she doesn't know anything about trading.
Yeah.
She doesn't know. I mean, she does.
Yeah.
I don't think she needs to.
She sent me a bunch of stuff about it, though. I called her one time. It's been a while. Not that long. It's been a little while. I called her to just like, I was like, hey, just humor me. I'm going to just talk and I just want to say a bunch of stuff and then I just want you to, like, tell me what you think.
She said so that'd be $500, please.
Yeah. Right. And so we just did that, And what was interesting is, like, she's like, well, I have no idea about, like, the nuts and bolts or, like, the specifics of what you're talking about. But then she was like, I'll send you some things I think would be helpful. And she sent me this was, like, last fall, actually. She sent me some stuff on like dopamine, mm-hmm. which I also think would be a fantastic subject for.
Yeah. It's so relatable. It's so relatable to trading. Yeah.
She sent me that. She sent me one on this thing on grit, the idea of grit in American mm-hmm. history and success, and how just to be mindful or careful to not over identify with the challenge of something. Equaling like your worth or the worth of that venture.
Nice. Yes.
And I mean, it was a lot more than that, but that was a big takeaway. So anyways, I just, when we did the synonyms thing or when we were talking about some of the synonyms to discipline, it's funny how soon into that you get to some words that don't feel like controlling, like is one, or like limiting, like it's interesting to see how far into it you get before
those are more negative associated.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So do you have these negative associations? And that's why I went, when I was like, well then, then don't you have to go back to like help yourself not believe the lie that having good discipline in the markets is going to rob you of something by focusing on the clarity of like the goal and how connected your system or process is to getting you there. If you think like, again, back to the ship and the island analogy, like if we're trying to get to this island and we've built this ship and we know it can do it, then if I like take a hammer out and bust a hole in it, you know, three times a month, just so I have to repair it, like, do I really like, well, I thought I would add another wing to the boat or another something. You're like, no, just freaking.
So I wonder how, like, how much, have you ever gone through and like just defined what discipline is to you? What good what does it mean to be a disciplined trader? Like we talk about it in this as this abstract concept, but unless you actually sit down and like write down, yeah. Like, what do I think? What does it mean? What if I trade with discipline? What does that actually mean? What does that mean?
I like that, Kyle, as a way of illuminating your like discipline tendency.
What does that mean? Like, we don't even really, there's so many different versions of it. Even what Baba was just telling us there, that like, it sounds like you really need to define what that is for yourself if you want to be able to
embody it. Well, it's like I think of it like the foot prop moment. So when you finish the day and prop your feet up, you know, that's when you probably will be able to be very clear about, did I, and I don't use the word discipline that often, actually. I use the word, I think more along the lines of an operator.
How many days did I buy myself?
That's right. That's how Baba thinks.
Yeah.
How many days did I buy myself, or how many days did I pay in advance? But I want to say, like, I was a smooth operator.
Yeah.
And then like inside of what, so then I had to, you know, had to further define what is a smooth operator. And that doesn't always mean like positive P&L and all of that stuff. But over the whole, you know, that's the way I tend to think about it. Now, baked into that is discipline, executing within a plan. You know, I give myself a fair amount of freedom and flexibility. I trust myself to an extent. Yeah. So I executing my plan has more to do with like the idea of moving from where we are to where I anticipate that we will go. And my goal is to figure out how to hitch the wagon. You know, I just want to hook up with that for a little while. And I have a lot of flexibility with how I hook up to that. I don't have a lot of flexibility with how I, you know, put together the places I think we should go, if that makes sense.
Right.
So one is very much, you know, there is a checkbox like ting, 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 ting. The other, like getting on that ship, there's, you know, a little more flexibility on how to hitch the
wagon. It's almost like you've built yourself in some creativity or some.
I know I need that. Yeah. Like my personality, and I excel in that avenue. And typically, fingers crossed, have made good decisions inside of that. And I've been fortunate too, man. I also just would like to say that like trading, there's a measure of luck involved. There's just a measure of fortunate happenings that can go your way or not, you know, like you forget, like there have been mornings in the past where I would be in a trade and have not checked the economic calendar. And then news drops and we freaking rip like 200 points in the direction that I was already trying to trade in.
Yeah.
I'm already in a trade and I'm like, oh my God, what the freak? And I, close it out, you know, and you're like, oh geez, that could have gone.
That went the other way. That could have been,
it's fortunate, right?
Yeah.
I've been in a trade, been long, and then Donald Trump say something, you get a 7,500 point spike. I didn't know he was going to say that, but that kind of thing happens.
Yeah.
At the same time, if your work had you in a short there, you know, are you a bad trader? Because you didn't know he was going to say that. I didn't know he was going to say
it. If you don't set a stop loss,
yes, I'm so sorry. I was not bringing that up.
Yeah.
I was not trying to bring that up on you, Cleo. I'm so sorry. I was just saying
I get it.
There's fortunate and unfortunate things that transpire that really like discipline and plans and execute, like we don't control. Like at the end of the day, there has to be this understanding that no matter all of this stuff, like you don't control what happens. You know,
only control how you react.
Yeah.
You don't control the world. You don't control outside of yourself. You certainly don't control the market.
you only control how you react to market movement. You know, do you follow your plan? Do you sit on your hands when your plan says, don't effing trade here? This is a garbage zone. Or do you go, oh, I'm better. I can do it. I only need 3 points. Clicky, clicky.
They stopped me out on three longs. I might as well go short. Cleo, did we do your topic justice here?
I think we did a great job. This was fabulous in my assessment. Yay. What do you guys think?
I think this.
I love that Baba came so prepared.
I know.
We had so many personal experiences to share.
Be writing him up to the labor board.
For what?
Making us all get rid. Shit by us. Yeah.
Is this going to affect my raise, Kyle?
Right. Well, how am I paying you now?
Wait, how do we get paid?
I'm still waiting. If I have a negative R, negative R trade that I'm consistently taking,
it's this program.
I'm just kidding. I get to be with you guys. What are you talking about?
Oh, man, there's so much. Cheers. There's so much positive EV in this
At
show.
Least we're having fun.
That, I think, is the point where I'm going to end this. So thank you, everybody, for joining in tonight. Thank you, Baba. Thank you, Bear. Thank you, Cleo, for your insights. We want to thank our guest tonight. Please do so by clicking on any of the links in the show notes, or even better, by leaving us a comment. I also still need guest suggestions, too, and I'm winking audibly for anybody who's listening on the podcast.
Audibly?
I see it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
You are winking.
I don't know if it's coming through on the mic.
Audibly.
Be back soon with another exciting guest. But till that day, like, share, subscribe, all the things, and have a green week.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Kick off summer with Memorial Day savings at Lowe's. Right now, get 5 Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. Plus, get up to 40% off select major appliances and save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances $396 or more. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 5/28. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only, does not constitute financial or investment advice, and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations.
Produced by China Shop Productions.